Actually, what I like, I mean, I think of beaches as being kind of sun, sand, and suffering. You know, I'm much more a kind of hills and wood and lakes and waterfalls and, you know, mountaintop experiences. Keep me away from beaches. But today, the beach is going to be awesome. Grab your coffee. Settle down. Have any of you been on interview recently? Okay, yeah. Jasper, did you get asked the question? The question is, could you tell us something about your strengths and weaknesses?
No, I didn't.
Oh, no! That's all you always get. I always get asked that. I've been on hundreds of interviews, okay, over the years. Most of them have been about trying to get into a church somewhere. But even before that, when I was working in computers, you always get asked, now, what would you say your strengths and weaknesses were? One young man who was being interviewed for a job said, well, my main weakness would be my issue with reality. Sometimes I have a little trouble in working out what's real and what's not. Okay, all right, so what would you say your strengths are? I'm Batman. Yeah, okay, and moving on. Having said that, weaknesses are actually something that we try to avoid, do we not? We really don't want to be weak. We would like to overcome our weaknesses. We would prefer that our weaknesses just didn't even exist. If we believe in the philosophy of Disney, anybody watched any Disney movies ever? Yeah? Do you know what Disney's philosophy is? You can do anything if you just believe in yourself enough. That's Disney's philosophy. It's not mine. I do believe in myself, but actually I believe in something actually much bigger than myself, which is a lot easier to believe in than myself. Because most of us, actually, if we were honest, think that we are filled with all sorts of messy bits. Okay? We're full of weaknesses and problems. And it's really hard to believe in yourself, but I have no problem believing in an almighty, everlasting God who can accomplish anything. For all our efforts to be strong, to be perfect, to be the people that we think we ought to be, the closer we seem to get to it, the bigger the struggle. It's like pushing a rock uphill. You get tighter and tighter and tighter before you can get to the top. And it becomes more and more work to try to overcome that last bit. And in fact, even when you do get to the top of the hill, you suddenly find that there's another one in front of you and you're still just as weak as you were before you started. And you think, oh, I can't do this. And we live in a society that over the years, over the centuries, over the millennia, the strong have attacked the weak. And we are going to be told that, oh yeah, that's evolution. You know, the strong survive and the weak disappear. And the strong attack the weak. The strong take the land from the weak. The strong take the possessions from the weak. The strong take the food from the weak. Now, that's not to say that we aren't a people who are also have compassion and have love. But often they're seen as weakness. And we want to be a people who are seen to be strong. Let me tell you a little story. Actually, no, I'm not going to. I might tell you in a minute, see how I feel. But in the meantime, what I want to do is to actually invite two people to come and join me who are going to tell you a little bit about their journey through weakness. Yeah? Okay, both of you, come on up, come on up. So which one's going to go first? Marie. Okay, Marie, we have a microphone here, you can ignore the microphone. Just come and say your bit.
Okay.
This is Marie, boys and girls.
Yes. Is it on? Yes. Okay. Right. I'm not a very good public speaker, so I've written down what I want to say, so I can just get it out of the way. Okay. Okay. So, right. This is my life, really, just summed up in like a few words. So, ever since I was born, I was introduced to God. I was brought up my whole life believing in God, and I watched all my brothers and sisters being baptized when I was young, and I was so close to getting there myself. I always wanted to be baptized, but I never got round to it. When I turned 18, my faith fell away from God for a while. I still believed in God and I loved God, but he wasn't a big part of my life. I lived my life for myself and my own selfish reasons. I had my two beautiful children, and I thought that my world was complete. A few months ago, I felt a calling. I wanted to be closer to God, so I went back to the church that I went to my whole childhood, and it felt amazing. I felt close to God again more than I had in a long time. I felt happy, but I still felt as if something was missing. A week after that, I lost my baby boy. I felt like my whole world was crashing down around me, and I didn't know where to turn or how to feel. Whether to blame God for what had happened to my baby, as you do sometimes when some things go wrong in your life. A couple of days later, I felt another calling. A big calling. A calling to go to church. Funnily enough, we turned up here at Junction, and I felt so loved and welcome instantly, and I knew this was the right place to be. I felt the love and peace of God poured into me, and through my darkest storm, I seemed to feel some comfort, which gave me a sense of belonging in God's family. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, I felt like I was home. I know that God has shown light in my darkness, and for this reason, I know that I am ready to fully commit my life to him. He's always shone through me to other people, but now I'm ready to do it for the right reasons, for my God, the way, the truth, and the light.
Fantastic.
Can you hear me? Does everyone hear me, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just kiss the microphone.
Well, I'm going to just start off when I was 13. Basically, I was dependent on drug and alcohol. That was through just hard times at the time. And then I became a dad at 16, which was like the best time of my life. When I was 23, yeah, times got really dark for me through like various reasons, which I won't go into, it'll take ages. When I was 27, I decided to stop using substances to suppress how I felt. So basically, I went numb no more. And then life was good. It was pretty good actually, until I hit about 30, and then I tried taking my own life, which is not the way forward. And then after that, I met Marie. And I could see something special about her, which it made me feel loved, to be honest with you. And then, sadly, we lost Jasper. Got taken away from us. And then, on the 10th of June, we arrived here.
Yeah.
And then I was in a confusing place, to be honest with you. And then we'd done a service, and then Elaine and Mark took us in the corner, and we said a prayer. And then Mark and Elaine said, "I can give myself to God." And then I didn't feel alone anymore. That's the first time in my life I've never felt loneliness, you know. And then I gave myself to him, and since then, I've felt really blessed, and I've felt something that's obviously better than substances that aren't very good for you. So this is why I'm here, to basically, I want to show God that I'm full on, you know. I'm embraced by this feeling, and I don't want it to go away, so I want it more. And it's addictive, very addictive. And obviously, and obviously I want to be baptized today because it's a part of me now. This is truly who I am, and I feel Marie's probably only going to need a couple of seconds. I'll probably need half an hour. Only joking. And just amen, everyone. Amen.
Amen. Let me just pray for you both. Let me pray for you both now, and then I'll just carry on with just a few brief thoughts. But Father, we thank you for Craig and Marie, Lord. We thank you for their courage in coming to stand up here this morning. Lord, we thank you for their desire to follow you. And Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit has been at work in them, bringing to this point. Lord, even though they have been through pain, even though they've been through grief and sorrow, Lord, you are bringing them through that shadow into a place of life and light. Lord, we ask your blessing on them this morning as they prepare themselves for the baptism in just a couple of hours. That, Lord, you would be there, and that, Lord, as they come up out of the water, that they would know you, they would know your presence with them, they would know the power of your Spirit, bringing them new life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you. Who lost his arm in a car accident, and he was really struggling with this, and with a bit of encouragement, he was encouraged to go and learn how to do judo. And he went along to this judo class, and there was an ancient Japanese master who was teaching the class, and he started teaching a boy, and the boy was a bit worried about it, but the master said, no, I can help you. Over the weeks, over the months, he started to learn how to fall and whatever holds that he could do. And the master particularly focused him on one judo hold. And week after week, he practiced this particular, quite a complicated hold that he could do with his one arm. And he knew that move very well. And he said to the master, shouldn't I be learning more moves? Isn't it, you know, why only this one? And master said, no, I realize that this is the move that you need to perfect. And if you can keep this one going, it'll be fine for you. Not quite understanding, the boy kept on training. And several months later, the master took the boy into a competition. And at the beginning of a competition, he was placed against people of his own level and ability, and he just walked through it. No problem at all. Just wiped the floor. First match, second match. By the third match, they were beginning to get a bit more difficult. But the boy was confident in the move that he had. And as his opponent runs towards him, he did his move and put him on the floor and held him down, and he won that match. And finally, he got to the final match of the tournament. And he was concerned, and the referee said, are we sure that this should go ahead? I mean, he's only got one arm. And the master said, yes, let him do his match. So off he went, got up there, bit of a struggle, but finally, just his opponent wanting to put him down quickly so that it didn't embarrass him, he rushed at the boy, and the boy did his move, and he held him down, and he won. And on the way back home in the car afterwards, he said to the master, he said, how on earth could I have possibly won that tournament with only one move and only one arm? And the master turned to the boy. He said, you won for two reasons. First of all, you have been able to master the most difficult throw in judo. And secondly, the only known defense against that throw starts with grabbing the left arm. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God takes our weakness and turns it into his strength. Let's face it, if we were to pull our collective stories together, we would find crippling accounts of weakness, of health issues, physical, emotional problems, abuse, violence, alcoholism, porn, divorce, injustice, anger, bitterness, pain. You could just go on and on and on. And if we talked about all the things that were wrong with us, we'd be here forever. We all carry scars. We would reveal tales of being let down, of being hurt, of loneliness, of frustration. Whether it's in the eyes of others or in our own eyes, or even by the standard of God's word, we are weak and we have been hurt. Let me read to you a few verses of scripture from 2 Corinthians. Paul says, I must go on boasting, although there's nothing to be gained from it. I know a man who in Christ 14 years ago was caught up into the third heaven, whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but I know this man, and whether in the body or out of the body, God knows. Was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible things that no one is permitted to tell, and I will boast about a man like that. But I will not boast about myself, except for my weaknesses. And even if I should choose to boast, I would be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I have been given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan that torments me. Three times I have pleaded with God to take it away from me, but he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. So that Christ's power may rest on me. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The world says that we have to be strong. Christ says, it's okay to be weak. Which one are we going to trust? And yet all of our lives we try to be more and more and better. The health and fitness section of the Wall Street Journal recently published what was joked to be a penny for your thoughts. About 40% of our everyday speech is devoted to telling other people how good we are. Yeah? We like to tell stories about ourselves. We talk about ourselves. Oh, I went to the hospital the other day and I did this and I did that and I was doing the other and I was going to this and I was... And we do, don't we? We talk about ourselves. If you think about it. Yeah? We love to talk about ourselves. In fact, it's been shown that actually the more you talk about yourselves, the more dopamine is released. Yeah? Dopamine, that's the stuff that gives you a bit of a buzz. And in fact, when they did this study, they offered people a financial incentive up to 25% of their weekly income if they would stop talking about themselves, and people refused to take the gift and wanted to carry on talking about themselves, because actually, we do like talking about ourselves. And Paul says, I don't want to boast. I don't want to talk about things that I'm good at. In fact, the only thing I want to boast about is my weakness. Because actually, when I am weak, God is strong. When I'm in a mess, it means that God can do more for me. when I am reliant not on myself and my own abilities and my own strengths and my own attitude and my own focus, but my focus is on my Heavenly Father, then God can work in me and through me, and God can work in you and through you if we can put our trust and our hope in God. I want to give you just a couple of quotes from various people. Have you heard of a chap called Brother Yun from Hong Kong, China? He says, "It's not great men who change the world, but weak men in the hands of a great God." Yeah, I like that one. I like that. Johnny Erickson Tada. Heard of her? Some of you have, if you're old enough. Yeah. Johnny was an aspiring athlete. She was into gymnastics, swimming, horse riding. And she had an accident and ended up being paralyzed from her waist downwards. And at the age of, I think, about 18. Was it about 18? Something like that. 17, 18. And what? She was a teenager, yeah. And she spent the whole of the rest of her life in a wheelchair. But she didn't let that paralysis, that injury, actually stop her. And she has now spent the whole of the rest of her life actually telling people about Jesus and about how amazing he is. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And Johnny Erickson Tada wrote, "Maybe the truly handicapped people are the ones that don't recognize that they need God." Yeah? Everybody wants a miracle. But nobody wants to be in the situation that necessitates having one. Think about that for a minute. Yeah, everybody wants a miracle, but none of us want to be in a place that actually requires us to need a miracle, do we? Yeah, nobody wants to be so weak that they have to turn to God and say, "God, I'm in a mess, help me." And whatever we do, we can't undo our own hurts. We can't mend our broken hearts. We can't perform open heart surgery on ourselves. No, it would be pretty awful, wouldn't it? Yeah? We need somebody else to do it for us. And God has said, "I will give you the open heart surgery you need. I will give you the things that will make you strong, that will give you life. I will give you life. I will give you value. I will give you purpose. I will give your life meaning." But if we try to give ourselves that meaning, then we block God from doing it for us. Let me finish. Do you want me to finish, or do you want to come and say something? Because I'll come and say a few words for us. Absolutely, please. No, that would be brilliant. You will come and. It is. I was just saying to these other two how courageous they were coming up, and I think you are exactly the same. Courage is actually in the face of weakness to be able to stand up here and do that. That's brilliant. God is strengthening you. You need to almost kiss the microphone.
Can you spit that up? We all know it's scary. It doesn't move. I won't break it.
You can take it. Actually, what you can do... Yeah, you just... It does move, but you've just got to be... Just come.
For 10 years of my life, there was a price on my life and body purchased. I was made to pay the price by people who didn't know my name. But then I found out that Jesus paid the biggest price to have me and call me by name and shed his blood. So I was purchased by blood, paid for with love, and insured by grace. I shouldn't really be alive. And he's thrown his He's shown his love through Cheryl, who, and pursued me in darkest places. The devil had stolen my identity, but through people he surrounded me with, has helped through God, a bit like Gomer. So I feel blessed to be alive. I didn't deserve the second, third, fourth, fifth or sixth chances, but I didn't deserve the first one either. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you so much. I mean, this is amazing this morning. We've had so many testimonies, so much. We're hearing about people who are weak and have become strong because of Christ. We live in a society that has everything upside down, but we think it's normal. You see, the way up to heaven, we first got to come down. The way to life is found through death. Christ's death on the cross. If we want to be first in this life, Christ says you must be last. If we want to be a success, we must serve others. If we want to be strong, we need to embrace weakness. If we want to be secure, we need to be vulnerable. The way of protection is the way of forgiveness, even up to 70 times 7. As I said, the way of life is through death, but death to society, death to family, death to all that separates us from each other and from God means that we find life. God's power is made perfect in weakness. If you feel weak, God is with you. If you want to be free, tie yourself to God. Bind yourself to God. If you want to become the greatest, become the least. If you want honor, clothe yourself with humility. If you want to get even with your enemies, bless them, pray for them, and love them. This world will never be able to provide you with enough, because we cannot earn what God gives away for free. Let's seal verse 10 of that passage I read to you earlier in our hearts. Paul writes, I am content, or well content, with weakness, with insults, distress, persecution, and difficulty. For in Christ's sake, when I am weak, then am I strong. In Christ's sake, for Christ's sake, when I am weak, then I am strong. Those thoughts in our hearts, we're going to draw an end to this service. I just want to share with you a picture that we had when we were praying before the service, to do with our time at Tankerton in a moment. We were praying together and God showed me this picture of us gathered on the beach, and there was us and there was a lot of other people around us all doing their thing. And there was this big jug over our heads, pouring out, and it wasn't water, it was some thick sauce. Yeah, I know it sounds, yeah, kind of, but rich, kind of think, I don't know, it might have been gravy, custard, kind of could have been, what? Fish and chip, well, I'm not sure it was vinegar, but it was kind of tartar sauce maybe, but it was a rich, strong, what? A marinade, thank you, or a fruit compote. Anyway, whatever. It was a rich, strongly flavoured sauce. All right, that's the impression I got. And as it flowed down through us, it transformed us. Yeah? And as it flowed, and it flowed not just over us, but actually out across the beach, transforming the lives of the people around us as well. Yeah? Okay. God's Spirit comes upon us to bring new life, transformation, hope, joy. As we worship together in a few moments at the beach, expect the Spirit of God to move and bring new life. Amen.